This is the Presentation Podcast, Season 7, Episode 160. On October 11, 2022, 11 MVPs for PowerPoint were part of the Presentation Summit Conference in San Diego, California. This episode, we get to join that group of PowerPoint MVPs for another great presentation conversation.
All right, welcome from the 2022 Presentation Summit Conference in San Diego, California. Nolan, how are we doing?
We're doing good. It's getting late for us here, but we're here.
We have all recently returned from Old Town San Diego, having Mexican food and margaritas and taking the trolley. And we are now gathered with how many?
11, I think. 11 MVPs, but... Yes, 11 MVPs.
Yes, 11 PowerPoint MVPs. We're all counting now. We're all counting to verify. There's 11 of us at this conference, and this is phenomenal. So we're going to basically open this up because I don't want to be a wrangler on this one. Nolan, you okay if we just leave it as a conversation?
I think so. Let's jump in. Let's talk to some people.
Who is Gitesh? You have traveled the furthest.
Yes, Troy.
Yes. Yeah. How long? And your flight here was like more than a day?
No, less than a day. Two flights of between 9 and 10 hours, so maybe 20 hours all put together.
Okay, that's a long day. Thank you for joining us.
All to see you, Troy.
It's the first time we've seen Gitesh in four years. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, because I've been here for some time. I'm not jet lagged. Otherwise, the day you do it, I'm always jet lagged.
So this is wonderful. And then who else do we have from distance? Everybody else is. I mean, you have the accent to go. Oh, Chantal, who's going to be further? Who's going to be, wait, is DC further or is, no? Oh, Chantal, you got us then.
Yeah. And Montreal seemed to be even further away this year because of all the problems in airports and everything. But yeah, I was 20 hours door to door, but not 20 hours in flight like Gitesh.
So there's distance and resistance.
Yes.
Gitesh, tell us what you've been up to. I mean, so what's new for you in the presentation family? You did some fantastic family travel recently, some of your vacation photos.
I've been on plenty of vacations to make up for the 2 years I haven't gone anywhere. So that's been great, and it's good to be back here, getting to be in with all of you. I think after 3 years,
it has been. I mean, everybody here. This is really exciting. Leah, you've joined us, and you had a couple of awesome sessions, and we don't get to hear from you as much.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, I'm really excited to be here. And I just wrapped up my session last night on the future of presentations. It's kind of my annual talk that I do.
No, correct me. I think it said future of presentation.
That's right. There was a little typo on the sign, but we kind of penciled it in and saw kind of an AR, the S. We imagined it all. So, and speaking of AR, that was a big kind of the whole spectrum of kind of reality to virtual reality was a big topic on the future of presentations. We've seen an explosion of kind of these immersive presentations and 3D worlds, everything from Roblox to Fortnite to actually we at Accenture onboard people now in virtual reality. Like people get a headset and, you know, you kind of come in, you get your laptop, you get your headset, and then you actually interact in a 3D space. And that's one of the trends that I'm seeing is kind of these more immersive experiences to really, in some ways, paradoxically, the technology helps us be more human together because you're able to interact in many of the same ways that you would in person.
And Yulia, you had a bit of an announcement, or your company had a bit of an announcement today. Do you want to just quickly talk about that?
Yeah. So we actually are partnering with Microsoft and Meta to kind of create the future of work. And I mean, that's still kind of the details are still fully to be seen in terms of what that's going to look like. But in short, we're kind of investing in this future of work and really thinking about how you can bring people from the real into the virtual and everything in between. So the onboarding, the, you know, immersive learning, we're seeing a lot of industrial use cases with digital twins and kind of people walking through a factory and seeing all of the sensors kind of on with a realistic replica of the factory. So there's from, you know, we say from consumer to worker to everything in between, that's what we're going to be seeing.
So Yula, can you tell us what the company is that you're working for? Just so everybody has the name out there that's going to coordinate this. Can you say that?
Sure. So I'm actually a metaverse strategist with Accenture. So Accenture is one of the I would call the dynamic trio that was announced this today. And we're going to be working with
partnership. It's a like a, an alliance or a.
Yeah, so it's we're going to be working, yes, sounds together amazing. With a lot they're of our ecosystem you, partners.
Yeah, wait, just make sure the check clears.
And, for sure. and I haven't heard digital twin. I don't know if I want a digital twin.
The real ones are
yeah. Well, actually, one of the other things I talked about in the future of presentation session is how AI, we've seen an explosion of AI tools recently, everything from AI imagery. We see that with Midjourney and DALL-E and Stable Diffusion. It's like you can now put in a prompt of text and then it'll come out with imagery that people are seeing that now in or using that now in their presentations and in many other kind of creative works that they're doing. We're also seeing audio being created with just the kind of a text prompt. We're seeing early versions of that. And even there's talk about entire virtual worlds being created in that way as well. So kind of the next emerging skill, as I talked about, is this idea of prompt engineering. So you're not just kind of doing the creation yourself. It's about fine-tuning the skills that you have to talk to a machine to do those things for you. And now there's like papers coming out on how to do that more effectively, et cetera. So it's definitely a skill we're seeing.
There are so many buzzwords. We have digital twins, prompting.
I have a digital twin right here in San Diego.
Wait, what? How? What?
I have a digital twin. Well, there's only two Steve Rinsbergs in the world, and one of them lives here. He's a doctor. and for years, he uses his digits. Yes, you see, there you are. He's a surgeon. But he was on CompuServe many, many years ago, at the same time I was. And
young spry guy, got it?
Well, yeah, and whenever I got into trouble, I'd blame shit on him. It's my evil twin.
I'm going to have to look him up, see if he's my neighbor.
So that's Steve Rinsberg.
Sorry, yes.
Steve, do you want to
obviously,
talk?
Obviously, if his twin's name is... Yes, okay.
You're Steve Rinsberg, not the doctor, the other one. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you've been up to this week?
Well, after listening to Yulia, I'm thinking, well, okay... Is this going to be anything like Siri where you can like put one machine and another machine back to back and let them yammer at each other? I would love to hear that and see what comes up then.
Not quite yet, but one of the things we're seeing is there is, you know, you can put in a text prompt and there's a scan of a person that can then kind of say that text prompt. And I was actually just talking to somebody at dinner about, you know, what happens if two AIs start to talk to each other, then it's like maybe they'll lead the path toward creativity versus us inputting that creative direction. And so then what if they start talking to each other? That's going to be...
There was a movie about this called Colossus, the Forbin Project.
Did all the humans die in that one?
Yeah, they just became subservient to the AIs partnering up.
Can we get a virtual podcast host so I can take off and just... No.
Nolan is enjoying full night's sleep, except for tonight where we're keeping everybody up. He's doing twin-free sleep.
And a nice big king bed all to myself. So who else? Mike Parkinson is with us. Mike's been doing a lot of sessions as always. You want to talk about a little about what you've been doing?
Oh, I don't want to talk about what I'm doing. I want to talk about the fact that I learned so much from everybody here. One of the biggest takeaways might be hysterically, Julie's about ready to make fun of me. One of my biggest takeaways was when you did the palette for the brand and you sized the the swatches to match the size of, or the volume of use that you expect for that color. So
that wasn't me.
I know you didn't come up with it, but you
that's usually in a good brand guide.
Well, it's now in mine because of you. So that blew my mind, and you're going to make fun of me. I often get made fun of by my fellow MVPs because I'm a designer, you know, I'm an Adobe guy who came into this Microsoft world, and I didn't know you could change the color of guides.
But bum.
I know. So
that's
I am blown
it's not
away.
Easy.
I didn't know. All it's I know hidden. Is that I'm blown away by what I'm learning from just about everybody here. I was in Rick Altman's session, and typically I don't go to Rick Altman's sessions because I'm like, oh my goodness, I've heard pretty much everything Rick has to say. And his approach this time, no, because I've been coming here for how long? 13 years. And so Rick and I I've sat in his sessions, and I was like, you know, okay, I've got that. And then he said, well, this session is normally you have a before and after session. You see these huge makeovers, these brilliant makeovers by super talented people like Nolan Hames and Julie Terberg and other people that I'm not going to name because it's going to sound weird. So he said, I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to show you very approachable things that every person can do, whether you're proficient in PowerPoint or not. And it was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So I loved it. So for what it's worth.
Phenomenal.
But Mike did some pretty good sessions himself, as always. Julie, Mike was singing your praises. We always like singing your praises.
How'd you feel about sessions for you?
I'm tired. So, you know, I've been doing makeovers now. I think we figured it out to be, how many years? 16. This was my 17th year doing the makeover session.
Same presentation made over 17 times.
Yep.
But it keeps getting better.
17 years.
One of these
those
days she's going to get it right.
Same title and bullet
Client
points.
Client will approve it one time.
And that's always an interesting task because it depends on what presentations we get from patrons to make over. So it's hit or miss every year. What am I going to get to work with this year? And then, this year, Rick Altman has a way of coming up with topics. I know you've all experienced this. He'd come up with a session title and an idea, and he'll say, why don't you do something like this? And so this year it was the science of art. It was going from a blank slide to a finished presentation design. And 2 weeks ago, I sent him an email, and I said, why did I agree to do three sessions again this year? Because it's a lot of work. But I think today it feels really good after the session when everyone says that they learned a lot. So you feel like the hard work was well worth it. So that's what I'm grateful for.
That's fantastic. So three sessions. I'm doing two sessions. Nolan, how many sessions are you on?
49. Four or three and a half. Three and a half, four, or five.
Well, wait. We got to count the Sunday six. Evening.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's fine.
Most people sign on for one, maybe two.
Three.
You did three? Oh, yeah, you did. Rick
I've
is
done
on.
Two. I've got one tomorrow.
We got one tomorrow. Yeah, we do have one additional day of a full day of sessions. So, and that's where I'm doing my second session tomorrow. Lori, I know you're not officially in the MV. How many? Do you have a talk tomorrow or did you finish? She did two. They were both phenomenal. She told stories that I have not told anybody here at her session. So that was all good. Heather, what's your experience been?
I'm doing none.
How's your experience?
Oh, it's great.
Much more relaxed than.
Oh, it's absolutely fabulous. I've gotten to catch up with a lot of friends and see a lot of wonderful presentations, and which is not always the case because, you know, usually you have to prepare your stuff and get in the mental zone and it's just, that's always stressful and you have to like make sure everything works and it's so nice. Oh, so nice.
Okay, the rest of us are jealous and moving on.
Speaking of making everything
work. Yeah, making everything work. Chantal, how's your experience been at the conference this year?
Tiring, to say the least. So no session, but I've been... Someone said you've been fluttering around. Yeah, I was a human butterfly since day one, but enjoying myself, being inspired by all the great sessions, the great topics. And I keep coming for this reason, because there's always something to be inspired about with my peers. And I can do the work I do now because of all of you too, because that's what helps us grow and move forward. So that was my experience, and we still have one day.
Not over yet.
Chantel, what's the vibe like compared to years past? Can you put that into words? Or your opinion, how you see things?
Well, of course, the event being smaller post-COVID, but it feels so normal to be back in rooms with people. And I have the feeling people are really happy about it. Patrons I've talked about, they've been smiling the whole time. Or sometimes in your session, people were just going crazy about Cameo.
She's pointing at Troy.
Oh, she was pointing at me.
Oh, yes, I was. Sorry. Thank you. But they were going crazy in the chat and helping one another. And at one point, I kind of lost control and just could not put in everything. But that was okay. They were enjoying themselves. So I think, yeah, that vibe, people are enjoying it. It was hybrid. And I think we did a good job at making sure people at home felt the same vibe and got a lot of value out of it.
Does anybody know? We'll have to ask Rick Altman. I think we're about 50-50 in person and
it's
virtual.
100 in person and 150 virtual.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. So I got to say, I'm usually a virtual participant for conferences. You know, I help run a virtual conference, the M365 conference, and this is my first time being in person while there is also virtual people. And this is the first time I've ever felt like I had a chance to get to know the virtual audience, which is interesting.
And how did you do that?
Well, it's through the biggest hurdle was the games we played. That was kind of an interesting piece. Like I feel like I know John Chen's personalities, like a big part of that. Like he kept holding up these signs, even when I, you know, as the in-person participant, I would open up the app. I would also join in to the Zoom so I could follow their conversation too. And I'd post things occasionally, links if people, they would ask, stuff like that.
John is our virtual host.
Oh, yes. But he would hold up smiley faces or a thumbs up or thumbs down. And I joined their little happy hour from the cocktail hour the first day. And, we were looking around the room. And so it was really kind of nice just to see people's faces on the virtual side of things. And
this is a very interactive hybrid. I mean, I was amazed. Chantal was the meeting host, meaning she was the voice of all the remote attendees. And during my session, I think we answered as many for the remote attendees as in room. I'll also say that Lori's session, she used audience polling just to create an interactivity. And I would say the polling was 50% in the room and 50% virtual, even with that, 10, 15 second delay. So she was very good about stalling as a good presenter would and saying,
yes,
we're going to ask the question and we're going to fill the time so that those people can hear it. And it was pretty impressive. So I think that was great.
It was impressive that Lori didn't look uncomfortable waiting. She was very charming, just chatting people.
I so agree.
And, It was, she would just call out and she looked very comfortable doing it. And I was very impressed just by both the virtual audience and the in-person audience. And I got to say, I finished a graduate degree recently, and being on Zoom as a virtual graduate student and having an audience that, we got Zoom fatigued so much. And there are some students that, professors would try so hard, and, we would often talk about people just sitting there and phoning it in, or, you know, teachers would complain. And, you know, I'm a part of academic Twitter, and everyone talks about how, like, people wouldn't turn on their cameras or whatnot. And, you know, not everyone turned on their cameras here, but that didn't stop them from participating. And again, a large part of it had to do with the presenters encouraging participation in some of the activities. And I think, you know, a lot of people could learn from the people here for, you know, what you can do to
having the host in each room. And the host did a really good job of communicating with all of us. So excellent job to the hosts.
And okay, I'm just going to pull a technical note here. The meeting hosts were actually a critical part to the operation because they were the connection to tell the AV team, I see the live stream, I hear the live stream. Today, day two, Tuesday, opening general session, there was no meeting host because there was a scheduling not availability, no audio for the first, I don't know, 5, 6, 8 minutes. John Chen sent me a text message on my phone. He's like, there's no audio in the general session. I wasn't in the room. So I walked in and said, hey, can you guys test it? And they're like, they looked over, you know, the chair was empty. So it is a critical role on so many levels. So I apologize for the audio. We will hopefully, I think we have a secondary recording. We'll dub in, we'll see, but it has a lot of impact.
I think it was important and interesting that Rick was promoting the use of the virtual platform for people who were actually in here in person at the conference. So I went up to my room to do some work, but I was able to keep a window on a session open on my laptop, continue watching while I was getting some work done. And just the general merging of the two. It's not like it's a permeable membrane between the two types of attendees.
I just want to say that I made a comment a couple times today to some of the newbies. I said, this year and last year, I said, you have no idea. For 18 years, there was 2 to 3 tracks. People had to make a decision on which session they wanted to go to. And you all get to watch every recording.
Yes.
For months. And there's no more of that FOMO because guess what? You've got a recording. So I'm excited to see all the sessions I missed.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. So there's no... It's a quick decision. Doesn't matter. Like, all right, I'll just catch this next person online.
Is he even doing Encore this year?
Nope. No, because it's all, okay. Everything's an Encore.
Oh, good. I didn't think about that.
So we've got somebody else over at the corner there in a very fetching shirt.
I told you, it's you.
Jamie, do you wanna talk about? You have not presented yet, right? Tomorrow,
I have not presented yet.
Right, you've got a session tomorrow.
The room for advice on how to get everybody's attention after they've been drinking margaritas all evening tomorrow morning.
So wear kilts. I think this kilts
and kilts. So I think this is probably the first time that I've presented on the Wednesday morning because I think I've done Monday and a Tuesday and now I'm on a Wednesday. So who's done a Wednesday and who's?
So Jamie, what are you presenting on tomorrow?
I'm doing add-ins tomorrow. Let's see how that goes. I'm always excited to see the mix of people that come back to these sessions that are familiar faces mixed with the virtual audience, which seem to be relatively fresh and new. So there's this kind of challenge of balancing this is new, but you might have seen this before and trying to cover those two halves. That's always an interesting challenge to try and balance it, to bring something fresh for the people who attend year after year and have got 13 stars on their cards or more. Some people have got 20 versus the ones that have got 1. So I was wandering around the bar this evening, just checking out
counting stars
and counting stars and seeing how many times people have been here before.
But as always, it's kind of like you've already been presenting because in pretty much every session, somebody mentions Bright Slide. Right? Yeah. So you just have to.
It's getting slightly embarrassing.
Yeah,
Well, let me ask this question then, because Jamie Grock behind Bright Slide makes the world better, but you're doing a session on add-ins. This is Tuesday. This will post next Tuesday, so we're not going to give anything away. Are you talking about just Bright Slide, or how? I'm actually curious how the talk will be this year.
I could just not do that because I'm very, very British.
And very, very humble. What?
No, I mean, every year, I do like talking about add-ins, but I do need to bring something new to the table. So there will be some other stuff which I'll be talking about. So there's plenty of new stuff in BrightSlide and stuff which my team, because we're now, it's not just me anymore, which is fantastic news for everybody that's benefiting from BrightSlide, because I've been recruiting people and Bright Carbon have got new people building this stuff for you. And they've been sending me stuff over the last 24 hours, 48 hours, and saying, this is new and that's new. I was like, hang on a minute. I'm presenting tomorrow morning.
Are we going to have announcements tomorrow?
I don't need anything new. Don't challenge me any more than I'm already being challenged after having to drink all those margaritas this evening and present first thing tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we held them down and poured them down his throat.
Yeah. You did. You did.
Nolan, I think we have our next episode afterwards. We're just going to corral him and say what's new so we can... Actually, we should probably give you a week to catch up and know what's there, but that would be a great announcement.
Can you marry that with a video tutorial so that everyone will have the audio podcast of what's new in BrightSlide with a video to show us what's new?
Sure, if you'll video produce it.
I was going to say, yes, just because Jamie's been able to hire talent doesn't mean that this podcast that is... me on the production end, we are no.
I can't show you everything that's new in 45 minutes.
Oh.
I have to be selective.
Are you doing a second ribbon?
there is already a second ribbon. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot in there, and there's a lot coming because people sat around this table keep on bringing us ideas. Every time I come to this conference, there's somebody who'll grab me in the corridor and say, "Hey, how about this? Can you do that? Can you do this?" And Nolan's looking at me now.
Because you still haven't blocked my emails, so they're just going to keep coming. The suggestions are just going to keep coming.
But it was at this conference when you said, "Can you do this?" I think it was about, was it 3, 4, 5 years ago?
BrightSlide or TalkTime?
No, TalkTime.
Oh, TalkTime. Yeah, that was the original. I said, "Jamie, I have this idea," and literally, like, I went one way, he went the other, and 45 minutes later, he said, "All right, it's rough, but I've got a proof of concept," and yeah.
I that's the thing that I get the most at this conference is just listening and just earwigging. That's a very English thing to say, isn't it?
Yes.
What was an earwig? Anyway, just listening to people facing problems and trying to work out, okay, we could do something there. We could make this work or we could make that work. And there was a discussion recently with the new modern comments in PowerPoint and the way that they don't copy over when you duplicate slides. And that was a conversation that we've had in this room before and outside of this room. And the idea was, well, why can we not just use the Control D shortcut, which copies a slide, and keep those comments? And I said, I'm sure we can do something about that. And it was, again, you know, it was 30 minutes, do something, give it to somebody and give them a solution and see the smiles. And that's what I live for. It's seeing the smiles on people's faces.
Hey, Rick, I got a question for you. I want to pick your historical Microsoft development cycle and ask this question.
There may be blood.
2007 PowerPoint, all of Office made a big transition to be an XML based, you know, PPTX in this case. And obviously that opened the doors for developers like Jamie and Steve to suddenly do what is basically miraculous from when I started using this program, and Jamie coming up with solutions in literally a day. And I've had the same experience. Mm-hmm. Is that directly attributed to the fact that Microsoft said we're going to invest and rewrite the entire Office code and make this more extensible?
Yes.
So investment paid off for us.
It couldn't be any other answer. Yes, I mean, from Ribbon ML and what I'm amazed at is when Jamie brings up something missing in the OM or a process or something, and he has so much authority with the development team. Mm-hmm. Steve, more than anybody else, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And that these things get turned around mm-hmm. in a matter of weeks, whereas, let's just say, 8 years ago, mm-hmm. it might have taken a year.
It's amazing.
If it was done at all.
All you need is the accent.
Yeah.
It's
more than that, my friend.
Can I get you to record my request?
Yes.
No, I think that you could actually develop a program that, you know, would do everything we wanted it to do, and that's evident by what you've done with Brightslide.
That's very kind, but totally unjustified.
There may be fear on the development organization side that if they don't do it, you'll do it.
And shut them down.
Ooh, that's bad. Maybe. I have to tell you that Steve Rinsberg and Jamie Garrock, and there's others, there's other amazing Sham, there's other VBA programmers out there. One of the things that I experienced personally, so I haven't added, I'm not going to talk about the name of it. The point is that Jamie and Steve, they turned something that was not, that was good, into something that was great. I was working with Steve, and Steve was suggesting ideas, and then Jamie would take a look at what I had done. And Jamie's understanding and Steve's understanding of not only user interface, but user experience, and understanding how casual users will use this tool, it's almost like you have insight, like a second sight. It's almost like you have this clairvoyance that allows you to create these solutions that are so user friendly.
Nolan, I'm so putting in a sound effect during that.
It's very true.
Just before Halloween.
Yes, and I kept telling both of you that I am so blown away by your insight, and that you're able to weave this into something that's not to bust on engineers. Engineers are amazing. Engineers are like, see, it works. Yes, but I don't know how to use it. You, on the other hand, are like, it works, and it's very intuitive. And it's a huge departure from what I typically see as far as solutions in our world.
I think partly it's because we both are PowerPoint users as well as abusers, and also because we hang out with you folks. You know, we talk about the failings of the product and what's hard to understand, what's hard to figure out, and that's kind of, I mean, I've been on CompuServe and news groups, and now Microsoft Answers, Reddit, all these online places, services, partly because I just enjoy working with people and helping them, partly because I learn stuff, figuring out answers, and partly because I get product ideas from it. You know, if enough people complain about something and I can change it, there's a product.
I think it's essential to an MVP that you have an empathy for the user. Either you're just a user yourself, that you're exposed to enough of it, or you're exposed to enough other users that you have been trying to help and you run into problems that you can't solve. You have to take it back.
Isn't it what we're all trying to do around the table, though? It's not just the programmers. We're all trying to make everybody else's lives better. Mm-hmm. I mean, why did you do Build a Graphic? You wanted to give somebody with no design experience, like me. I'm not a designer. I put some words on a slide. How do I visualize that? And how do I come up with a quick route to making it more visual? We're all trying to do the same thing.
And that's the summit too. It's like, we all know each other and we talk a lot, but you know, this is the one time of year we get to meet, you know, other people, you know, people we've never seen before, never met before, people we only see once a year. And just like, we all come at this whole thing from very different, you know, niches, and we all sort of have our specialties. Every attendee here comes at it from very different experiences. And so it's always nice, you know, getting the questions and just seeing how people are using things and problems they're having and all sorts of stuff. And it's just every single person here comes here from a very different perspective.
It's less now because there are fewer people, but this is a conference where it wasn't unusual to have five people from a firefighting department showing up to learn to do better presentations. And they're an entirely different type of business person than somebody who's working in an accounting firm. So it's kind of a nice place to grow your experience of the diversity of users.
And again, because this is such a niche industry and everything we do, nobody's stepping on anybody's toes. There's no, I've been part of conversations where we have the head of one agency talking to the head of the other agency, and there's zero competition because there's so much, as somebody said, there's so much pie out there that where everybody's getting, you know, their slices, and infinite slices.
slide made every second.
I like to give Mike at New Power a little hassle because actually there was one thing you were working, testing for me. It was a font replacement thing. And you know, they had no idea I was messing around with it. So he, when I gave him, I told him that I was already working on it and getting just about ready to release it. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. He was telling me, I said, you had no way of knowing. Don't worry about it. And you did a better job. So it's all cool. And you made Nolan happier. All right.
It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. More wine. Oh, sure.
There's plenty of bottles of wine. We have not met nearly enough.
I want to mention a former MVP who showed up as a surprise guest on Sunday night. Right? She was a former MVP. Right. So Sunday night, I hosted, like I usually do, the business roundtable, which is always like one of my favorite times. It's a casual, like we all pull up couches and chairs and we just sort of like chat about the business and everything. But this year, we arranged to have a special guest attend. It was a surprise to everyone. Nancy Duarte stopped by just for the roundtable and we just had a really good time and just she's amazing on a million different levels, you know, for all of us. But the conversation was just really, really excellent.
Yeah, I don't know if we can call it the round table anymore. That was a freaking big table.
Yeah, we had a good at least a third attendees there. Yeah, if not a half of the attendees. So so that
I was having
really
a conversation with Bethany Auk of Slide Wrap, and we've decided you need to have roundtable niches so we can actually hear the conversation. It was a full session and it was phenomenal. But because I came in late, I was sitting at the back and I was having a hard time hearing what was going on, but I was just awestruck with the conversation. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coordinating that. That was awesome.
Yeah, and Nancy, that was not recorded for the Zoomies, unfortunately, but it was really good. We got sort of a real nice perspective from Nancy, who runs the world's largest presentation firm and clearly is one of the industry's sort of biggest influences.
One of the great things about this conference that I've always talked about was the fact that there are so many different interests from the participants and the facilitators that recently, Yulia, I was able to connect you with. So someone randomly came up to me and said, hey, Mike, I'd like to do something in our industry. My industry is typically bid and proposals, something about communicating in the metaverse, basically working in the metaverse. And I said, what do you think? We're trying to get a grant for it. And they said, what do you think? I said, I think it's amazing. I don't know anything about it, but I happen to know someone who does. And so I was able to connect Yulia with this gentleman, Todd, and now they are hopefully going to work together. He's putting a conference together. He's trying to create a grant, and he's trying to use the metaverse or leverage the newest technology in the metaverse to advance or evolve what we're doing in our industry, which perfectly dovetails with what you're doing at Accenture, and it makes all the sense in the world. And none of this would happen, and you could be planting the seed that's happening at Accenture for his universe, which is going to be at General Dynamics and all these other organizations, just totally makes sense. And it might have all started here.
Yeah, and Mike, thank you for that introduction. And actually, yeah, I mean, I always say to people that the presentations are going 3D, basically. And, you know, if you're thinking in a 2D world, it's really important to at least start thinking about how you can design an experience that is more immersive and kind of, you know, you can still have flat images, but they could be around like a virtual room and you can hang posters on the wall and you can bring people into that space. I actually had an experience that we set up with the Presentation Guild, which if people are not members of the Presentation Guild, highly recommend checking them out. But we had what we called the amazing metaverse race, where we had people, I actually took little kind of trinkets and resources from members of the guild. So I took, for example, Nolan's book, and I made it into a 3D model and stuffed it into this space. I kind of hid it under sand, under a tree. Same thing with Julian Echo's book. I turned it into a 3D model. I hid that in the space. I had pictures of the members. And it was kind of like a scavenger hunt. And people were, they were, you know, kind of doing walkie-talkie style communication. Like, hey, I'm, you know, I'm on the beach. Did you find the cup there? Or like, hey, I'm by the fire and I just found something. And they had a checklist where they had to find different items. And as they were finding them, they were communicating, and whoever kind of unlocked the last mystery or clue was able to get to the secret finale spot. And it was, I mean, it was just so different than kind of creating a regular presentation experience or a regular team meeting. It was really a way to almost recreate kind of a virtual retreat. And this was an actual, you know, island resort that people could explore. So
I don't think we're quite ready for the virtual.
I'm trying to open a wine bottle. It's not cooperating.
This is why we don't do video.
So in any case, bring your, you know, try a meeting in the metaverse. I will say that, because it does bring people together in new and very unexpected ways. You could try framevr.io, get in, get an account. I have folks who are part of the Presentation Guild who have already created their portfolios in this, in this space. Like it's like a virtual room, and then they just hang their works, their slides, the presentations that they've done on the walls. So you send somebody a link to, you know, your, to that space, and they enter and they check it out. So very, you know, if you want to stay on the leading edge and stand out, that's a really great way to grab attention.
I was very skeptical about the whole VR thing a couple of years ago, and working in a distributed company and post-pandemic and people all over the world and in different locations has just completely flipped my view about this. I personally am nowhere near where you are in terms of thinking, but just a simple thing about having a remote team in multiple locations, in 6-7 different locations, and just meeting up once every fortnight to do something in VR where you've got the proximity and you actually feel like you're all in the same room, it's completely changed my view about the way that VR is going to impact people. And it's a healthy thing as well. People's mental states have gone through huge turmoil over the last couple of years. And it's just remarkable to have people in multiple countries, multiple continents meeting and just hanging out, basically. It's remarkable. It's completely flipped the way that I think about VR.
Absolutely. And I just want to give a shout out to Bright Carbon, because you all bought headsets.
We were
featured in the news. Yeah, I mean, this is huge. This is a
What kind of headset?
Oculus.
Oh, the Oculus. Okay.
Yeah. So it's one of the many, many perks that we have. I really enjoy working for this company because there are so many out there perks, such as art budgets and inspiration budgets and all the kind of different kind of things that we get to do, which I put in the salary survey for the Presentation Guild. I highly recommend that you fill that in if you've not been part of that already. But yeah, we all got Oculus headsets, and we've done full-on company meetings with 100 plus people, and we've seen Richard Goring fly into space and present in the virtual environment in PowerPoint to 100 plus people. It's just, it blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind.
You mentioned it, so I need to mention it again. The Presentation Guild, their annual industry survey, which includes the salary survey, is open and available. You don't have to be a member. In fact, if you fill it out, you have an opportunity to win a membership, a free membership. So hopefully this will come out before it closes, right?
Should. And you also, if you've participated in the survey, you get the report as well at no charge. We normally sell that for quite a bit of money.
And so we'll put the link in the speaker notes, but you can also just go to the website presentationguild.org and you'll find a link there.
And I just have to say, you have not lived until you've inadvertently body merged with Richard Goring in VR.
He is referring to a time when the MVPs went exploring Altspace. This is Altspace VR is actually a platform that Microsoft bought in 2017, and it's one that actually has Microsoft account integration now. So definitely check that out. And I remember Rick actually was guiding us through one of the spaces at one point, and he was like walking along the walls trying to find holes. And it was
a common thing to do in video games to find, especially in older video games, but to find a glitch, which is a perhaps improperly programmed juncture, and to be able to walk through a wall and get into this other space where you're looking back into reality from another dimension. It was fun to guide people into that, and then they're like, where are we?
Yeah, he was talking to us like, I think your hand was sticking out of a wall, and you were like, oh, I found a spot in here, like, get in here, and we were all trying to get in as well. And then Steve and Richard were actually standing in the same spot, mm-hmm. right? And it actually is a really interesting experience where you're literally standing in the same.
I think I've seen that movie.
I lived it, man.
Inception.
Yeah, we unfortunately are missing a few of some of the regular faces. So Richard's not here today. Sandy had other obligations. Echo had some other obligations. But it's still nice to see. We still see a lot of old people. We had not.
Prefer not young anymore.
Familiar faces, experienced faces. No, familiar faces we haven't seen in a while. Not just around this table, but just in general from the attendees.
But it is good to see so many people here tonight.
This has been fun. Actually, really quick, just because I want to actually know for myself, and I've been looking at the agenda. Let's go down a list of Nolan. Just list off your five sessions.
So the roundtable with Nancy and everyone else. I did a session today on charts, different types of charts, non-standard charts. I did a fun session, general session. Rick usually doesn't let me on the main stage, on presentations in film and TV. So we had a lot of film
fun.
Clips. Yeah, so that was a fun one. Tomorrow I have... what do I have? Tomorrow I have remote presenting and designing without bullet points. I think I got most of them.
Mike?
I had from start to finish the whole process. I get to do that in 2 hours. That's real. The other one was...
So that was a Sunday workshop, to clarify.
That was a Sunday workshop.
Paid extra, absolutely. And a longer duration with you.
Word. It PowerPoint.
Nobody ran out of the room. It was good.
No one threw tomatoes at me. That was a good thing. Then on Monday was Victory with Vectors. Of course, self-explanatory. And the other one today was Advanced Infographics. And then for some reason, Rick didn't accept my naked PowerPoint session, but next year.
But did he name the vector one or did you?
That was Rick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. I'm not that clever.
Steve's in the Help Center. Walked a couple of... Oh, wait, really quick.
Yep.
I have a great Help Center story. So in my session, I made a reference to Morph, and I made a reference to... I was talking about Cameo and how Cameo can actually... The best transition for Cameo is Morph, in my opinion, and that you could have multiple Cameos going simultaneously, but you could use Morph, and you know, you'd use Bang Bang Morph to, you know, identify which one you want to move. And I just said it out loud, and I was like... And you know, which is the... exclamation point, name of whatever you want in the selection pane so you can identify them. Two guys come up to me and go, I've heard that. Two patrons come up afterwards and said, I've heard that. Can you tell me what it is? Now I'm trying to pack up my stuff to get ready for the next presenter. I said, no, but I know who can. So I literally walk them through the back door into the Help Center and said, Steve, I got two people here that would desperately like to talk to you, and I'm assuming you had a great conversation.
Wonderful, yeah. And they were delighted. And just, wow.
Yeah, it was right. And these are experienced people using it. So anyways, that was great. Yulia, sessions?
Just the future of presentations. There's a lot packed in there, but I learned my lesson with the three sessions. So definitely.
Anyway, that's why he won't let me do sessions anymore. The first presentation summit, which is PPT Live, there weren't many speakers, and we all pitched in to make a full program. And I ended up doing, I think, 5 sessions in 3 days. And he probably came in on my last one. And I was so brain fried. I was probably just babbling meaninglessly. And that was it for me. Go to the Help Center, Steve, and stay there.
Jamie, what did you have for sessions?
So I've just got the one tomorrow morning. It's been renamed. It used to what? It's been renamed. Yeah, it used to be called...
What do you think it was supposed to be?
Well, it was Plug In and Rock Out last year, but I think Rick must have realized I don't play the guitar, air guitar or any other form of the guitar, and it's now been renamed Value Added Add-ins. Sort of real tongue twister.
Ooh, like the dollar store variety?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's me tomorrow morning.
5 for the price of 4.
We'll stay up here. Rick, what'd you do?
Well, I had the guru session, the late night guru session on Monday, where we started off with a nice session bringing Gar Reynolds in from Japan for, I think we had him for about 35, 40 minutes.
Well, he was talking to us for 35 to 40, but you connected with him early. He was on there for almost 50 minutes in the Zoom. Well, it was impressive and fun.
And then we, the guru session, we always just kind of jam on what people want to talk about, and told some stories about the old days at PowerPoint.
I'm going to make money on this conference because Rick cleared a bookshelf. I'm sure Debbie's very excited about this. So everybody got to pick up books that were just duplicates. You already had an original.
I get sent a lot of books.
So I picked up when I actually won. I was very excited. I went up there. I picked up the first edition of Cliff Atkinson's book, Beyond Bullets, of which I already have one, but he's going to sign it for me tomorrow morning before he leaves. So there I've actually picked up value on that.
Probably double in value. I won't say what it was before it doubled, but it'll double in value. So that was Monday night. And then today I did PowerPoint karaoke, which is always fun. We had 7 decks of 10 slides that people who had never seen those slides before got to present. And they tell stories and we bring up new images, and they have to incorporate the image into the story that they're telling. It's always a lot of fun. And then tomorrow I'm doing tomorrow I'm doing Pachakacha. So we'll have a mini Pachakacha night in the afternoon, bringing in 4 of my favorite prior presenters for an all-star session that has been curated, and I'm so excited about it because every one of them is wonderful in a completely different way.
Before we move on, can you give us the 30-second difference between Pachakacha and karaoke?
Well, they are literally the antithesis of each other. Karaoke is slides that you've never seen before and you have to present. And it's all about improv. It's all about...
And they auto-advance, though, correct? They do not in karaoke.
They don't. The presenter can either say next slide, or when I think they're kind of running out of things to say, I'll just force a slide forward.
So they do auto-advance, but you're the auto.
I'm auto spelled with an O.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. PowerPoint... Pachakacha is a presentation format that was made in Japan, and after it was first exposed at one conference, it went viral and it went around the world. To date, there are 1,297 cities around the world that hold Pachakacha nights. And basically the Pachakacha format is 20 slides that automatically advance. Each one automatically advances after 20 seconds. So you have to know your stuff. You have to be able to get your argument, your thesis down to 20 salient points that tell your story, that enforce whatever you're trying to do. And we have a great time. It's incredibly popular in universities, in bars. I love holding Pachakacha nights.
Awesome. And speaking of 20s, this is the 20th anniversary of this conference.
At this conference.
Okay, moving over there. Julie, tell us about your sessions.
Over Mentor. And today, Tuesday, was the Science of Art. And tomorrow, I'm doing the Templates Checkup. And then I'm one of the presenters in Rick's Pachakacha.
You are the big finish.
Oh, great. No pressure.
And I think that does it for MVP conferences, because you were, Heather, an attendee of Leisure. Chantal, you were a wrangler of panic and stress and continuous movement. Every time she's like, I gotta go do this. I gotta do, and there's just a lot to do at a conference. Yeah. I mean, there is a lot to do.
But I might have an announcement.
Oh.
Yeah. My book is coming out next March.
Will it be, seriously, will it be PowerPoint, dual language?
Well, unless they change the title, it's going to be PowerPoint tips and best practices where people will learn how to plan, create, and deliver impactful presentations aimed at regular business users that usually don't have creative teams, technical support to use PowerPoint properly. So they'll be learning about the cool stuff. I already reached out to some of these geeks for add-ins because I want to make sure I have a chapter on it. So that's my announcement.
That's now really seriously, because you're French language first.
Yes.
Is this a dual language release book or what's the plan? I don't know.
It's English first. Pac reached out to me, asked me to do it in English. I will probably have to wrangle the French version out of him, or I'll do it myself afterwards. We'll see.
Fantastic. Wow. That's a good announcement. Okay.
I'm going to have to get your book into the metaverse beach.
Nolan, I think we'll wrap it up and call this one an episode.
Let's call it a night.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Thank you for being with us for another presentation and PowerPoint conversation. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. If you enjoyed this conversation, please tell the PowerPoint people you know about the Presentation Podcast. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.